LawEnforcementOrg or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple. This show is about sports betting. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper. We're coming to you live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network and simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm joined by Brett Grant. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Another derby is behind us.
Yeah, exciting news. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball. We're going to talk NBA playoffs, recap the Kentucky Derby, some golf action, you name it. We'll talk about it. Studio line is open, 702-221-7283. That's 221-7283. You want to talk sports, you want to talk sports betting, call in. We'd love to hear it. Live chat is up and running on Vegas Video Network as well. Now, let's get started with, what say you, Major League Baseball this past weekend. A number of sweeps took place, namely the Dodgers getting swept by the San Francisco Giants. San Francisco looking good. What say you?
Giants are a team that I think is without question. They're the world champs. They're probably still the best team in the National League West, and if not one of the top two teams, I think, in the National League overall. So I think the Giants are right where they're supposed to be, and the Dodgers are a team, Scott, that is full of problems. They don't hit. Their pitching, starting pitching has been pretty good despite some of the injuries, but they just don't hit well enough. And Don Mattingly makes some of the most interesting, I'll call them interesting, decisions managerially that I've seen in the National League in a long, long time. He continually makes the wrong choices.
Last year, if memory serves me correctly, the Dodgers were within 2.5 games of the San Francisco Giants. They brought in some real top-level talent, and they went 19-19. San Francisco went on to win the division, ultimately went on to win the World Series. But you look at this Dodger team, and you talk about the fact they're not hitting, and I realize that Dodger Stadium, of course, overall is a pitcher-friendly park, but other teams don't have trouble hitting there.
No, that's a good point. And you know, the thing with the Dodgers is they have a couple of stars, but Matt Kemp's not hitting. Adrian Gonzalez not necessarily hitting like he did when he was in San Diego. Hanley Ramirez was back for a very short period of time. Instantly got hurt again. He's back on the disabled list. Carl Crawford was terrific when he was in Tampa, had a horrible stint in Boston. I think he'll be fine. But then you look around and you see Ellis and now D. Gordon playing this position. Cruz over here. They just don't have Andre Ethier has not been exceptional. So they've spent a lot of money on guys, but those guys aren't performing. And if Matt Kemp isn't going to be the MVP-type caliber player that he's capable of being, then the offense is really going to struggle.
I realize it's early in the season. Dodgers have been underachieving, much like their Southern California American League foes, the Los Angeles Angels. Again, I can't say this enough, it is early, but we do see a trend here. The latter part of last year, and a very pedestrian 500 team, 19-19 after making the trades, bringing in top-level free agents. This year, yes, injuries are a part of the game, but do we need? I mean, we broadcast the games here on KSHP, right? The Dodger games. So, I mean, we're Dodger fans. We love you, Blue. But your thoughts, I mean, as we go forward, as far as, do you think this team is just in a temporary funk, or do you see this being ongoing?
Well, you're 13-17. You've lost four games in a row. And again, to me, I look at Don Mattingly as not necessarily being a great in-games strategic manager. So I question a lot of his moves, the lineups. We can go on about Mike Socia as well. I mean, he's got Josh Hamilton hitting third yesterday, a guy who's hitting 200 on the season, hitting third. The third slot in baseball is reserved for the best hitter. Now, Albert Pujols normally hits third. He's not hitting very well. He had the day off yesterday. But Mark Trumbo is on fire right now for the Angels, and you got him hitting down in the four hole or the five hole behind Josh Hamilton, who is right now an automatic out. He's an automatic out. And the same thing in the Dodgers lineup. You got to shuffle things around a little bit. You got to find somebody who can be in that spot and consistently produce. It's a high average spot. It's a power spot. It's a extra base hit spot. It can't be a guy who's hitting in the low 200s in those situations. And I think both managers are really leaning on guys who aren't producing. And you have to have guys producing at the top part of your lineup. You can't be afraid. We talked about this earlier with Josh Hamilton. I don't care how much money he's made. If he's not producing, you got to move him down in the order into a non-critical spot, into the sixth hole, into the seventh hole, until he turns it around. And there's other managers that aren't afraid to move guys around. Those two guys are afraid to, and it's hurting their team right now offensively.
Josh Hamilton batting around 200. Last check, he had a couple of home runs, been a big fat disappointment early in the season for the Los Angeles Angels. And I guess some people are starting to question, this Angels team from a year ago did not, they were the odds-on favorite to win the American League West. Forget winning the West, they did not get in as a wild card. They did not make the playoffs a year ago. So what do you do in the offseason? They had some issues. So the rich got richer in regards to your offensive power. Josh Hamilton is the man, and I think eventually he will come around. But the real concern for this team, last year their Achilles heel, bad pitching. And again, that's the same issue we have this year. We know that they can hit. They've been a pretty good over team in regards to totals, but they just don't pitch.
Well, for the $25 million they spent on Josh Hamilton a season, they could have gotten three $8 million pitchers to help their bullpen because they don't have a bullpen. So to me, they didn't need to address their offense. They have plenty of offense. So scoring eight runs a game, now scoring 8.5 runs a game, doesn't matter because you're giving up nine. You're giving up 10. The Angels are a dead over team because they can't stop anybody. And the Dodgers are 28th in the national, 28th in baseball out of 30 teams in runs scored. They can't score. So as great as Clayton Kershaw is with his 1.6 ERA, it doesn't matter because he can't win every game 1-0 because the Dodgers can't score.
And Kershaw can't play every day.
Right. He can't pitch every game. So there's two completely different problems. What needs to happen is the Dodgers should trade some of their pitching for some of the Angels hitters. And then both teams will be better because right now I think they're combined 23 for 37. I think their combined record, the Angels are 11 and 20, and the Dodgers are 13 and 17. So that's, what, 24 wins and 37 losses. That's not too good. And I don't know if that one of the guys might lose their job, but with the amount of money that the Dodgers have spent under the Magic Johnson, Stan Kasten era, you got to think that Don Mattingly probably doesn't have a long rope with what's going on with the Dodgers. I wouldn't think. And not that I'm advocating for him to lose his job. I'm just saying I would think that the patience level for the Dodgers management will be very short.
Well, you look at, you mentioned the manager for the Angels. Last year when the Los Angeles Angels struggled, they got off to a very slow start. I believe they started out 6-14. Mm-hmm. The scapegoat was the hitting coach, who is proven. He was a very good hitting coach right. for quite some time. Word on the street had it that he clashed with Albert Pujols. But, I mean,
right.
Eventually, there comes a time where the Angels manager, as good as he is, needs to be held accountable for this team underachieving.
And I think Artie Moreno will do that with Mike Socia eventually. I think you give him a little bit of time because he's had success. They've won championships. They've won division titles where Don Mattingly hasn't had that kind of success. And there's a new management team in Los Angeles with the Dodgers part of it. But when you know, the Dodgers went out and hired a hitting coach. They went and hired Mark McGwire, took him away from the Cardinals, who had the number one, number two offense in the National League. Ironically, the Cardinals still have a very good offense, yet the Dodgers' offense is still pretty bad. So from a hitting coach standpoint, you can only do so much with what's in front of you. And the Dodgers don't have a lot of hitters. You're never going to make D. Gordon into a superstar hitter. You're never going to make Cruz or Ellis, Mark or AJ into superstar hitters. It's not going to happen. But what you got to be able to do, and I think what Mark McGwire will get to, is making Matt Kemp a more consistent, everyday, great hitter, because he's not doing that right now. And maybe a guy like Carl Crawford or any prospects coming up. But when you were in, when he was in St. Louis and he got to work with, here's Albert Pujols, here's guys like Matt Holliday, guys like Yadier Molina, Rafael Furquel, who was a proven hitter in that spot. Here comes Carlos Beltran, guys that are great hitters already. All a hitting coach is hoping to do is not get in the way of those guys. But a hitting coach at the major league level can't transform a guy. You either have those skills or you don't. That's how you got to the major leagues. It's just more tweaking that goes on. Well, you can't tweak a bad hitter and make him a better hitter. You can tweak a good hitter and make him a better hitter, but a bad hitter is still going to be a bad hitter. the way I look at it.
We're talking baseball on the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Las Vegas, Nevada. Live and worldwide, simulcast on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, and Tim Donahue's site, RefPicks.com. I'm joined Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Brett Grant, the GM here at KSHP. Every Friday, my good buddy Anthony Padilla from 10 to 11 a.m. So we encourage you to keep the live chat questions coming on Vegas Video Network. It's up and running as we speak. The studio line, live questions, 702-221-7283. We talk about handicapping, betting sports. I've been doing this for the past 30 years, and I have to say that we document our plays here, a segment every show, the right side, the latter part of each and every show. Brett, last week you gave out four plays. Three of those got there. I'm riding a three-game winning streak. Anthony Padilla, our Friday co-anchor for the Odds Couple, has been on a real streak. He won again on Friday. So, hey, never bet on a streak to end.
That was 7-3 last week for the three of us combined. That's making bacon.
Not bad, again, because the break-even point in betting sports is 52.4%, meaning you have to be right 11 times out of 21. Now, we talk a lot about NBA playoffs, betting sides, betting totals. Major League Baseball, of course, you have a money line. And I respect you because as opposed to taking a favorite minus 10, 15, 20 cents, occasionally you'll step out, bet a dog, which is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, but your win percentage is not going to be as good, but you'll be in the money. The idea is, it's what I like about VegasInsider.com. We have a million views per day as they timestamp and document the plays. Now, people get caught up in win percentage for baseball, and they shouldn't, because you could be a 40% handicapper but be broke if you're laying 2-1 lumber.
Sure.
Conversely, you could be a 65% handicapper, or I'm sorry, you could be a 65% handicapper and be broke if you're laying 2-1.
Right.
You can be a 40% winning handicapper, losing handicapper, but a rich dog because if you're taking plus 2-1.
Right.
So everything's relative. It always comes down to simple math.
No, that's a good point. And, you know, a lot of times, I think in baseball, there are spots where, you know, this guy's coming off of the disabled list, suddenly he's inserted in the lineup, or the form of this pitcher, you might see him breaking a recent trend or matching up well against a team that he might have faced before, even though he might not be in current form, and you're getting value in certain spots. And we gave you that with the White Sox last week. I think they were plus $1.15 or $1.17. Not a huge underdog, but they came through and won the game rather easily.
Well, they did.
In Texas.
And it was a great call on your part because you were actually against the move. All the money came in on the other side because you, again, in the morning, took plus 16 cents with the White Sox on the show, Odds Couple. It closed plus 35, plus 40 cents. So the whole world was against you. Right. Apparently, they didn't listen to the show.
No. And anybody that did got even better price than I got.
Right. Exactly. If they waited.
I moved the line.
Exactly.
Everybody goes, yourself. Brett picked the... Okay,
so we're going to bet the other side.
Exactly. Exactly.
Long term, we know you always want to get the best of it, but sometimes it's nice to buck the trend, even if the whole world's against you. Just cash the ticket, baby.
Well, a lot of times when you do like an underdog, you know, usually the money, people are going to play the underdogs a lot of times anyway. So if you do like somebody, you know, a favorite in a situation is minus 120, minus 130, a lot of times it's going to continue to go against you. So you might as well get it when you can.
Well, people oftentimes will ask me if I bet favorites, do I bet dogs, do I bet money lines, what do I prefer to bet? And when it comes to baseball, I mean, generally speaking, underdogs are undervalued. So I almost always go with the dog. And especially in baseball, I deal with pluses. Very rarely will I deal with minuses. But again, to take it to the next level, I do a lot with totals. When I release plays, for instance, today I'm looking at a total. Tune in a little bit later on in the show for the right side. And I know you are looking at a total as well. But we're talking Major League Baseball on the Odds Couple, KSHP, Vegas Video Network, live and worldwide. Scott Pritchard with Brett Grant. And, you know, we had the Houston Astros struggling. They continue to struggle. They were swept. We're talking about Sweep City. Okay, we talked about the Dodgers getting swept by the
right.
Giants, but the Tigers looking good, feeling good, knocking off the Houston Astros.
Well, do we give them credit for that? I mean, the Tigers have won four in a row. We expect them to be the beast of the American League Central, and they're swinging the bats really well. But they're 9-1 in their last 10 games, by the way. The Cardinals swept the Brewers four games in Milwaukee on the road. In fact, the Cardinals have won six games in a row as well. So if you look at where teams are right now, best teams in baseball, even though the Red Sox have lost three in a row, they and the Cardinals And the Texas Rangers all have 20 wins. They're the only three teams in baseball with the 20 wins. So the Red Sox coming back down to earth again. I don't necessarily think that the Red Sox are a long-haul team that are going to be very good. I do expect the Tigers. I do expect the Cardinals. I do expect the Giants to be at the top of the standings towards the end of the season and expect all three of those teams to be in the playoffs. Not sold on the Red Sox yet, even though for a stretch there they had the best record in baseball.
Well, it's interesting you say that because looking at the American League standings, the Red Sox are in first place in the American League East. That's a surprise. The Tigers, not so much. And, of course, the Texas Rangers, not a big surprise there either. So Boston has been the surprise. And in that same division, the Toronto Blue Jays, a team that I pegged, hey, along with the rest of the world, including the sports books, they were one of the odds-on favorites to win the American League pennant this year, but they've been in the toilet.
11-21, one of the worst teams in baseball. I mean, thank God the Astros are still playing because they make everybody look better. They only have eight wins, the Astros do. But with 11 wins, with all the changes that the Toronto Blue Jays went and got. They apparently inherited all the Miami Marlins problems because Miami actually has the same number of wins as the Toronto Blue Jays have.
Well, think about that. I mean, that's why, again, especially in baseball, it's
one less.
It's always done me well as far as playing dogs. And if you look at the two really popular teams based on what the sports book said going into the regular season, the Los Angeles Angels, I believe you just said they're 11-20,
great,
and the Toronto Blue Jays 11-21. So imagine just again, because 70-80% of the time these two teams have been favored,
right,
against the opposition, and you're getting a big fat plus day in, day out. I mean, it's easy to say after the fact, but again, a successful sports bettor will see things before it happens. But it takes courage to step up and bet the Kansas City Royals or bet the Minnesota Twins. But this is Major League Baseball. Anything can happen. I play numbers, not teams.
And the Kansas City Royals are 7 games over 500. They're 17-10 on the year, and they've probably been a big fat dog in the majority of those 27 games.
Well, now, you talked about the Boston Red Sox, how they were playing extremely well, but they were swept by the Texas Rangers. Texas looking good.
Well, I think the Rangers are a team with a terrific offense, and I think they have plenty of pitching, and you get a guy like Yu Darvish, who's any, I think any team, Scott, that has a great number one starter, and the Rangers do. I think Yu Darvish is that guy. Like the Dodgers, I think they do with Kershaw and many other teams. You're going to win a lot of games, and you're also going to be in a position where that guy can help really dictate to the rest of the pitching staff what it takes to be a winner day in and day out. Yeah, you get the ball every fifth day, and I know you don't pitch on the other 4 days, but that guy is still a very big figure in the dugout, even though Darvish doesn't speak a whole lot of English. But you do see those other guys then emulate and want to be as good as that guy. Look at the Cardinals. Nobody's really saying the Cardinals are a great pitching staff, but they're one of the best pitching staffs starting-wise in baseball. When you have a guy like Adam Wainwright at the top of that rotation. And then you look at what the other guys, Jaime Garcia yesterday was terrific. Jake Westbrook, Lance Lynn, those guys have, and Shelby Miller, a young rookie, those guys have all been terrific because Wainwright is such a great leader. And they're without Chris Carpenter, who's been their leader before, but Carpenter passed that down to Wainwright. Now Wainwright is also that guy. And I think Kershaw will do the same thing with the Dodgers. Look at the young Korean yesterday in Rue for the Dodgers. Even though he didn't win, he's been very good for the Dodgers. They just got injury problems in their spot. But I think with the Rangers, when you see Harrison in that spot and also a couple other guys, young pitchers with the Rangers, Yu Darvish is a great table setter for those other guys to learn from.
Well, you talk about the marquee stars.
I mean, Verlander.
Ace.
Sabathia. I mean, look
ace
at the
pitcher.
The Yankees, with all the problems the Yankees have had injury-wise. The Yankees are 18-12, and they have Sabathia and a bunch of no-names that are pitching for them right
Yankees
now.
Yankees have been a pleasant surprise. They were not projected to do well, especially
right
in the American League East, a tough, tough division. But you look at Jared Weaver for the Angels. Last year started out 17-1. Their ace this year hurt, adversely affects the depth, which they didn't have much pitching depth to begin with. C.J. Wilson is the one bright spot on that team.
Yeah, and again, the Angels' problems really are their bullpen. They just blow every potential. You know, if a starter doesn't make it into the seventh or eighth inning for the Angels, they don't have a chance to win because their bullpen just cannot hang on to a lead.
See, that's a very good point. That's a trend that I've been able to capitalize on early in the season, Brett, is because when you bet the Angels, if you like the Angels, do not bet them for the game because they're sixth, seventh, eighth inning bullpen pitchers. Middle relievers are average, and I'm being kind,
yeah,
and I'm not sold on their closer. Their bullpen is not good. So if you like the Angels, instead of betting the number for the nine innings, just bet it for the first five. And it's very conducive. It's very close to being the same number. So bet the first five innings there. And but conversely, if you like the over, because we've talked about how they continue to be a good over team, they don't pitch particularly well. They do hit. So if you like the over, bet it for the game. But if you like the side for the Angels, bet them for the first five innings as opposed with someone like C.J. Wilson, because at least you know what you're getting.
No, that's a good point. And I think with when you look at them from a total standpoint as well, they're really, I don't think I've seen a 10 yet, which you'll see in Major League Baseball in the American League quite a bit during the summer months, I guess. But there's been a lot of eights and a lot of eight and a halves. And we talk about, you've talked a lot about nine being the magic number. Well, the Angels have had a lot of totals that are under nine. I think yesterday was nine. Again, there was, and the game was 8-4 yesterday. But the way I look at it with the Angels is they're going to score four runs a game because they have. They're going to give up four runs a game because they have. And here's your 4-4 game, and the totals are sitting 8, 8.5, 9. Well, you're not losing any of those. You're going to, worst case, more than likely get a push at 9, because I don't see any, hardly any Angels games that are sitting 5-4 games. They're just not. There's not too many 4-3 Angel games.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard with Brett Grant, live and worldwide, simulcast on Vegas Video Network. This is exciting. We go Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk sports betting, sports in general, but namely sports betting. NBA playoffs continue. Tonight we have the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's recap yesterday's action. Very exciting. The Indiana Pacers, one of my favorite teams because they bring it. They remind me a lot of the Chicago Bulls. They bring the energy, the effort. They play good sound defense, whether they're at home or on the road. And yesterday, the Pacers, an upset winner against the New York Knickerbockers, looking good in the process. What say you?
I'm not sure if they're an upset. I think they probably should be the favorite. The only thing that they're might put them in that underdog role is because they don't have home court advantage. Well, guess what? Now they do. So they went out and won game one right out the get-go. I think the Pacers are a better team than the Knicks. I think they play as a team much better than the Knicks. David West was terrific yesterday with 20 points. And you get guys like, you know, Paul George and obviously Roy Hibbert. They get the job done. They've got places they can go. They have great role players. A guy like Tyler Hansborough that just goes out and plays hard and gets to the free throw line, makes his free throws, will do all the dirty work for you. The Knicks don't have those guys. And the one thing, the biggest problem with the Knicks is they don't have the depth up front from a rebounding standpoint. It's all, you know, Chandler's all by himself up there when it comes to getting rebounds. And your other forwards, I mean, you worry about Shumpert and Anthony going out and getting rebounds? I don't. They're not rebounding guys. I think it's a huge advantage for the Indiana Pacers from a rebounding standpoint. And if the Knicks aren't going to shoot any better than they did like they did yesterday, which was, what, 43%, they're in trouble.
Well, the Knicks, going into the series, based on home court, having the better record, favored to win that series. But home court is so big in the NBA. I mean, we talk about it on a weekly basis on this show, The Odds Couple, because you have 5 to 6 teams in the entire league every year that may have a road winning record. Now, the Knicks favor to win the series going in. They lose yesterday, game one. One game changes everything. Today, the series price, if the Pacers are favored, and that's simply because the Knicks have to win 4 of the next 6 games. 3 of those are at Indiana, and 3 are in New York. So the Pacers are favored to win that series today. But I look at the Pacers, the Bulls, the Memphis Grizzlies, and these three teams may not have a ton of talent. Yes, they have some talent, but more than anything else, these three teams, Brett, to me, are made for the playoffs, which is a half-court set, knock down, slow down, let's play in mud, every possession is magnified, let's get stops. Offense will take care of itself, let's get stops. The Pacers, the Bulls, the Grizzlies, one and the same.
I agree with you. And, you know, if you look inside the numbers yesterday, the road team went in and won that rebounding battle by 14 rebounds. The Pacers out-rebounded the Knicks by 14 yesterday. So from a Knicks standpoint, you're saying, boy, we didn't really bring the effort or the energy going into it. But I think the Pacers had a nice carryover effect, Scott, from winning game 6 in Atlanta. They had that great mentality. They took that with them to New York into another hostile environment and played very, very well. And Indiana's a terrific team at home as well. So now you've got at least a split going home where you know they're a good road home team. And the Knicks are a team that has to rely on Carmelo Anthony, who we talk about as a straight-up ball stopper. And he wasn't getting any calls yesterday. Credit to the officials. To a certain extent. There wasn't any home cooking yesterday for Carmelo Anthony. Probably 2 or 3 fouls that could have been called in critical situations in their comeback that weren't called, and probably Not sure why they weren't called, but they probably should have been. He even got fouled by the cameraman on the way off the floor. I don't know if you saw the cameraman took a charge on him as well. But he didn't shoot well yesterday. It was 10 of 28 in the game. And if Anthony's going to shoot that poorly and take that many shots, I don't like the Knicks' chances.
Let's talk about the Western Conference semis with the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I want to talk about this because yesterday, game one, Oklahoma City at home favored by 3.5. They won by 2, 93-91, I believe, was the final. But here's what you're looking at. Interesting, isn't it? It's somewhat of an anomaly. You have the Memphis Grizzlies on the road taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder without one of their stars, Russell Westbrook.
Sure.
The sportsbooks made the Memphis Grizzlies a small favorite to win the series. Yet, game one, the Thunder favored by 3.5. If this game goes the distance, say it goes seven games, obviously the Thunder would be favored by 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4 points. Yet the Grizzlies are favored to win the series.
So how do you, as a professional sports handicapper, take advantage of that?
What that tells me is, first of all, I see value with the Memphis Grizzlies because, again, even though they lost yesterday, they did cover the number.
Right.
Okay, they were getting plus 3.5. They ended up losing the game by 2. The Grizzlies led by 3 with about a buck 15 to go in the game and ended up losing, which is we need to give credit to the Thunder holding serve, defending their home court. What that really says to me, I understand. I mean, first of all, it basically opened a pick for the series, or the Thunder a small favorite, but all the money. I respect the odds makers, but I have more respect for the betting market. The guys driving the number, the guys betting big money to drive the number to where the sportsbooks have no choice. I like the Memphis Grizzlies to win this series. That takes courage to say because they're down, they're behind the eight ball. But I really feel the Memphis Grizzlies, in spite of the fact they don't have a bench, I think this team is made for the playoffs. I don't like the bench for the Thunder. The fact that they won a game at home, good for them. But to answer your question, what does this mean from a sports betting standpoint? Again, somewhat of an anomaly. If you have the Thunder favored to win and they have home court, but yet they're a dog in the series, that basically tells me that the sports books are anticipating that this, going into the series, anticipate that this is not going to go seven games.
Well, the other thing now is, after losing game one, the adjusted series price, you probably get the Grizzlies now at a nice plus, fat plus.
Exactly right. In fact, obviously now the Thunder are a favorite to win that series, but I don't think it matters. I mean, I see this series now with the Thunder winning game one. It's going to certainly go six, possibly seven games, which means whoever comes out is going to be spent, emotionally spent, drained, which is good news for you San Antonio Spurs fans. That's where I come in. Hey, it only took me, 32 minutes, but now I get to talk about the San Antonio Spurs. Tonight, they're taking on the Golden State Warriors. We're going to keep it moving with Spin to Win. I love this segment because the smart bettor knows that you think with your head, you bet with your head, never your heart. Emotions cloud judgment. Spin to Win, we have the Warriors on the road taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs are favored by 9 in this contest. Spurs have been off for 8 days. The Warriors, they've been off since Thursday. But I'm going to spin to win. Whichever team it lands on, I am forced to make an argument for that team. Brett automatically takes the other side because a smart bettor knows that you have to be able to make an argument for both teams independently before you step up to the bet window. Who do I have here?
You get the Warriors.
Golden State.
I'm sorry, I was hypnotized by by all the colors.
All right, so I have the Warriors.
You have the Warriors.
Plus the 9. Okay, well, this is going to be a tough sell, but I'm a grown man. I can sell it. The Golden State Warriors plus the 9. I'm feeling fine. The Warriors, I mean, oftentimes what happens in the playoffs is if you're in an extended series, if it goes 6 or 7 games, you have to turn right around and play in a day or two, which is what happened with the Thunder when they had to play. After playing Friday, they came back on Sunday and had to play against the Grizzlies. Both teams played Friday. They come right back and play on Sunday. In this case, you know the Spurs are healthy, they're hungry, they're well-rested, but the Warriors, come on! Their game 6 was Thursday, so they've had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. So the Warriors plus the 9, these two teams played 4 times in the regular season. The home court team won each time. So obviously the Spurs will win the game, but 9 is a bit happy. So get on the Warriors plus the 9. I'm feeling fine. See the cashier.
Well, I played it last night at 8.5, so I feel wonderful. They have the Spurs at 8.5 that the move and the money came in on the Spurs. But to me, the, after a, 8 days of not playing, the Spurs are ready to just kill somebody. And here come the Golden State Warriors, who are a bad road team, into a spot where their backs are not against the wall. They can rest a little bit. The Warriors can. And they don't have to win this particular game. But from the Spurs' standpoint, obviously all the pressure's on them to come out and play well. And when you look at the starting five versus the starting five, with the exception of the matchup between Curry and Parker, which I would call probably even, because Parker brings some things that Curry doesn't bring to it. Curry, a better scorer, obviously. The other four positions, advantage Spurs. Advantage Spurs at home. They don't lose at home. They blow people out. They can play any pace you want to play, but they can also play a slow-down half-court game, which Golden State can't play. Spurs win, going away, 1-0 series lead, easy. Winner, winner.
Before you bet this game, check the injury report before I came to the studio this morning. I know Splitter, the starting center for the Spurs, is doubtful for tonight's game. Duncan, stomach virus, not feeling the best. He's questionable. You and I both know he will play. Boris Diaw should play. Who knows? There might be a Tracy McGrady sighting before this series is done. He played 5 minutes in the last series after they cut Steven Jackson. Tracy McGrady, we'll see if he gets any time. But the big important thing here, friends, is we have the big three. Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, hungry, healthy, and a little bit annoyed because they did not get any respect going into the playoffs. And we were the two people on the planet who said, look out for the Spurs. Never mind the fact that they lost 7 of their last 10 regular season games. It's a new season. And for the first time in a long time, this team is extremely healthy with the exception of Splitter. But again, I don't think it really matters. Now, as far as the Warriors and the Spurs, 4 games, 2-2. But two of those 4 games, Tony Parker did not play. And
those are the only 2 wins that the Golden State Warriors have in the last 19 games against the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, I'll take it to the next level. It's 1997, Tim Duncan's rookie season was the last time the Warriors won at San Antonio. They're both in the Western Conference, so they play each other every single year, twice a year, on the opposing team's home court. 29 straight wins for the San Antonio Spurs at home against the Golden State Warriors. I expect a short series. Last year, the Spurs in the playoffs, they swept their first two opponents, and then they were up 2-0 against the Thunder before the bottom fell out and they lost 4 straight to the Thunder, who went on to lose in the finals to the Miami Heat. But the San Antonio Spurs, they're healthy, they're hungry, distinct home court advantage, but they also went on the road. I believe they went, at one time they were 23-14 until the bottom fell out late in the year. But, I mean, they struggled on the road late. But with 4 games to go in the regular season, they were 23-14. So we know they can win on the road.
I think they finished 23-18.
The big thing is they are healthy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think this series will be 5 games. I think they'll lose game 3 or game 4 in Golden State and wrap it up in game 5. I don't see a problem with them winning games 1, 2, or 5 on their home floor. And I think they split the 2 games up in Golden State.
Well, I'm excited because, as everyone knows, I've been singing a song about the Spurs because I bet numbers more than I bet teams. I do like this team because I like proven winners. I love Greg Popovich. Pop knows best. I have the Spurs at plus 250 and plus 220 to win the West. And obviously I caught a break with Russell Westbrook going down. But the fact is those two teams, the Thunder and the Spurs, evenly matched. It's basically a coin toss flip, although you would expect the Thunder to be favored with home court advantage with Westbrook. But with Westbrook out, obviously the Spurs are the odds on favorite to win the West. Plus, I know I'm going to have a much easier time beating the Warriors than, say, the Thunder beating the Grizzlies.
That's a good point. Now, what about the other series tonight? The Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat get their series underway as well. A lot of problems with the Bulls, especially health-wise. A bad spinal tap, because it goes to 11, is knocked off Luol Deng out of the game today. And, of course, Derrick Rose still not around. Kirk Heinrich has been hurt. Lots of problems for the Bulls.
I love the Bulls. They have heart. They have determination. I love their coach. The point spread is 12. 187 is the total. The Miami Heat favored by 12. You know, we talk about this Bulls team, and they went into New Jersey, Brooklyn, and knocked off the Nets. The Nets, again, do what the Nets do. They're up, down, they're inconsistent. You just don't know what you're going to get. And the Bulls bring the energy and the effort. They knocked them off Game 7. Congratulations. Good for the Bulls. That's the good news. The bad news is, as you said, man, they're banged up. You know, I saw something. You sent it to me last night. I was laughing.
Yeah, if our
the new statue
has us, yes.
Of Derrick Rose in front of United Center just sitting there watching a game. Do we have that? I mean, it was great.
I hope Scott can pull it up for us because it is. Yeah, there's a brand new statue in front of United Center You know, there's the Michael Jordan statue of him, you know, dunking right. from the foul line. This new one is three benches, three chairs, and Derrick Rose in a suit and tie watching the game from a chair. And there it is. There it is. There you can see it right there. There
I
it
love
is.
It. That's
now, the great.
Great
thing about it is you can sit next to him and have your picture taken with him. Now,
only in Chicago, right?
What do you think about Derrick Rose not playing yet? And Anthony brought this up the other day, and I think that's why it was relevant, is because of the fact that Anthony brought up a very good point. He's been cleared to play. Now, I heard another fan and a friend of mine mention over the weekend, why rush back if you don't have a guaranteed contract? And Derrick Rose, I guess, doesn't. I don't know what his contract status is in that regard, but he hasn't gotten his monster payday yet. Could that be part of the reason why he's not come back to play?
It is a business, okay? He's not endearing himself to the fans of Chicago.
He's a Chicago boy, well, born and bred.
Exactly, and it's a blue-collar town. And they love guys like Noah. I love guys like Noah who, you know, he's hurt. He brings it. He plays, and he plays well. Derrick Rose, the doctor says you're able to play. He says, I'm not quite ready.
Well, he wants to be able to dunk off of both feet. But he's been in practice, in the scrimmages. He's been in every shoot-around. At some point, if you're the coach, if you're Tom Thibodeau, you're saying, dude, put on your jersey. We need you.
Yeah.
We don't have six healthy bodies right now. We got a bench of one person.
I'm a little disappointed.
It's pretty selfish, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, okay. It certainly comes across as being selfish, and it's all about me. Imagine that, a professional athlete making it all about themselves.
I understand.
But this is to the extreme.
I understand his point that he wants to be at a certain level mentally before he goes back in. And I understand, having been injured before, you want to know that you're 100%. You have to think about, if you think about getting hurt, you will get hurt again. So you have to get that out of your mind. But the only way to do it is to come back and play a little bit. Nobody's expecting him to come back and play 40 minutes, but if he came back and played 10, came back and played 12,
just being
then
on the
15,
court.
Just gradually work your way back into it and get that competitive fire going again, that injury will become a distant memory to you, and you'll suddenly be doing things that you say, oh, I didn't realize I could do that again. But guess what? I can. I'm back.
I understand he's not at 100%, but who is this late in the season?
Right.
I mean, it's a marathon. I mean, the first game start October 31st, November 1st, and here it is mid-May practically, and the NBA Finals take place by mid-June, so it's a long, grueling season. Can you imagine someone like Moses Malone or some
anybody.
Of these? You know what? Yeah. Anybody
what
is
would
right.
Willis Reed say? Yes, Willis Reed. Here he comes. He would just run Derrick Rose right over. I mean, where's your competitive fire? I'm not going to call him. Not call, you know, not being a man, I understand his concerns. I do, and if you have a monster payday happening pretty soon, but in order to get that monster payday, you got to put a little bit of chips in the pot, don't you?
Well, you mentioned Willis Reed. I believe it was 69 or 70 when the Knicks game 7. I mean, Willis Reed was basically on one leg, but
right.
He manned up. He came out, and it was perhaps a bit overhyped because the fact is, not everyone knows this, but Willis Reed. He could barely walk. He went into the game, and he nailed a 15-foot jump shot from the elbow. And the Knicks went on to win. He was their emotional leader.
Right.
Statistically, he didn't do squat in that game.
But
we see the
shot.
One basket that
right.
he – okay. But the idea, he was the leader, and he had the heart of a champion, and he did what he could. And just by being on the floor, you inspire
Absolutely.
Your players.
That's the microcosm of the – athletes of yesterday versus the athletes of today. I mean, Michael Jordan with the poison pizza or the flu or whatever he had, I'm sure he didn't feel well, but there's no way you were going to keep Michael Jordan off the floor in that particular game, whether it was overblown or not. Or there's plenty of examples. Look at hockey players. They get pucks to the face. They go off. They have teeth removed. They have stitches inserted. They're back. They barely miss a shift. It's the old joke. They're hockey players. And they just get right back into it. Jack Youngblood, right, playing a playoff game for the Rams
broken
with
leg.
A broken leg.
Yeah.
Playing a football game with a broken leg. This guy's been cleared 2 months ago by the doctors. 2 months ago. That's what? Beginning of March, end of February, he's cleared to play. Here we are now approaching the first weekend, now the second week in May, and he's not back on the floor yet. And his team really needs him right now.
A good leader leads by example.
Absolutely.
Derrick Rose not setting a very good example.
No, he does look good on the bench, though.
He does. Yeah, it's a great photo op. Next time I'm in Chicago, I'll be getting dialed in. So thanks for
there
sharing that. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper on PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com, a site run by former NBA official Tim Donaghy. I'm joined by Brett Grant. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP, AM 1400 Radio, Las Vegas, Nevada, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard joined by Brett Grant. Together, we are The Odds Couple. We would love for you to reach out to us. You can email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show. Simply go to our site, Vegas Video Network. On the right-hand side, there is a red bar. Click there. Middle of the page, a green bar. Hit start recording. We do field live chat questions through Vegas Video Network, The Odds Couple. If you do miss us live, no worries there. We've got your back. We've got you covered. Simply go to YouTube, Vegas Video Network, iTunes, Roku. Now, when it comes to sports and sports betting, you don't have to look far to find frustration. Are you kidding me?
Before I start with are you kidding me, I have to give you major props for last Friday because I didn't get a chance to do that. Now, you were called Kojak. I was calling you Mr. Clean a little bit. I know Sinead O'Connor has come up a little bit as well, although I don't see you tearing up pictures of the Pope. So I'm gonna refer to you as Curly. I mean, I love
Curly,
the Three Stooges.
I'm not as thin as Curly.
I think your body type is pretty good. I'm going with Curly. But no, you were a great sport about that. And having your head shaved on live video and live television was that was world class.
I was telling my good friend and mentor, Scott Whitney, the executive producer here, that the one thing.
You need to raise your standards, by the way, a little bit. Thank you.
The one thing that I had going for me was, hey, when all else failed, I could always say, at least I have a full head of hair.
Oops.
But now I don't even have that. And now I went on record as saying on Friday, as a single man, I got very little action. And now I get no action.
Well, there you go. But you give girls a chance to buff your melon.
That's an idea.
Actually, the live chat questions were pretty complimentary of you without the hair, I have
you
to say.
Broadcast heroes.
I'll take that. Scott Whitney gave me a compliment one time in 3 years with this network. I'll take it.
Exactly. There you go. All right, are you kidding me? I have to go to the PGA Tour. Yesterday they played the final round of the Wells Fargo Championship in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Phil Mickelson, who has won 42 times in his career, has been, at times, though, also a major choke artist. He had the lead. Now, forget the fact that I had a nice bet at 16-1 on Phil Mickelson to win the tournament, which I made on Thursday, because I really thought he was going to win this week. He had a one-shot lead with three holes to play. And what did Lefty do, or as I affectionately call him, Hefty the Lefty? He bogeyed 16. He bogeyed 17. And then he loses the opportunity to go into a playoff by one shot. That's the second week in a row, by the way. Actually, the Masters was the other one, where I had a wager on the winner through 70 holes. If they just stop the tournament at 70 holes, I'm your winner. But unfortunately, they play 72 and not 70. So it happened to me in the Masters, and it happened again yesterday. But I do have to give credit to the rookie making his ninth career start, Derek Ernst, who picked up $1.2 million. He also gets, Scott, very importantly, a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour. Derek is a former player here at UNLV, making his ninth start. He wins the tournament, picks up a fat check. But Phil Mickelson, one of the great players in the world. By the way, Ernst is ranked 1200th in the world. Mickelson's ranked 11th in the world. Mickelson gagged it up. Ernst got the big check. So Phil Mickelson for that, are you kidding me?
16-1. That's a great, great number and some super value. But Mickelson kind of sounds like, more than anything else, he does what he does. I mean, it sounds like he beat himself again, as opposed, we give credit where credit's due, but it kind of sounds like he blew the opportunity.
Well, it was bad weather. The golf course was in horrible shape. The golf course was probably in the worst shape I've ever seen a professional golf place playing at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, which is normally a great golf course. The greens were horrible, and Mickelson, we know, is a great putter. It was raining. They started earlier to get the round done in time, where hopefully it wasn't washed away. Mickelson said the day before he hopes it gets rained out. I like my chances in a playoff, you know, because he was at the time tied for first place. So I think mentally he wasn't there. And we've seen Phil Mickelson blow U.S. Open after U.S. Open with bad tee shots, bad putting in spots. And he's a wonderful putter. Should have won at Shinnecock Hills. Should have won another U.S. Open where he hit a ball so far out of bounds that the courtesy tents were in play. He's bouncing them off of tents out there. So we've seen Phil shoot himself in the foot time and again. But this is the first time I've actually had a wager on him. So that's why I'm more upset with him than anybody else.
My Are You Kidding Me segment today, a bit on a serious note. I'm very disappointed to report that, you know, when it comes to sports, we're all intense. We all love our heroes, if you will, whether you're betting these games or not, and everyone's in it to win it. But it really upsets me with what I read this past weekend. In Utah, latter part of April, there was a recreational soccer game being played, and one of the refs penalized one of the players, a 17-year-old kid. 17-year-old kid clocked him in the head, and initially the referee, Ricardo Portillo, he did not react immediately, but eventually felt lightheaded, and then ultimately ended up coughing up blood and vomiting to the point where this past weekend, because of the blow to the head, passed away. So my heart breaks when I hear something like this. I feel bad for everyone. I feel bad for the victim's family, 46-year-old man, gone in the physical sense forever. And yet, I've often said that all youth lack judgment, and a 17-year-old kid in the spur of the moment did not mean to kill or hurt or maim anyone. He just reacted, and obviously it was wrong what he did, but it's just again, when it comes to sports, we'd love to compete, but as far as hitting a referee, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a horrible story. And this referee, I read the same story. I saw it over the weekend, and he had, at the time, he had not passed away yet when I read the story. But it didn't sound good. It didn't. It appeared like his daughter, they were talking about as if the inevitable was going to happen, and unfortunately it did. The 17-year-old kid, by the way, his life is ruined as well. He'll be charged and spend a significant time in jail as part of it. And it's just a horrible story. We've all been around over-aggressive parents who get after referees and baseball umpires and officials on the basketball court. And we've seen players get out of hand before, and you see the chest bumping in the major leagues, or you see it in the NBA where occasionally somebody will lose their mind, but cooler heads usually prevail. In this case, it was a reaction, a horrible reaction, and the worst-case scenario came through, where an official literally was killed while doing his job. It's a horrible story, and there's no way you can justify what goes on with it. And your heart goes out to the family, because the man was a father and had children and was a referee for a long, long time. And by all accounts, a good one.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. Exciting time right now, because this show being about sports betting, this is the part of the show where Brett and I together put money into your pocket as we put you on the right side.
Today on the right side, I forgot my water glass, by the way, today. See, I got pink and I forgot my glass. Purple, I should say. But I'm going to go to a Major League Baseball game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays. That's Rays, Jays. Jays, Rays. Today, going to go to the total here. The over-under is sitting at 7.5. A couple of teams that are really struggling pitching-wise right now. The Toronto Blue Jays with Mark Burley on the mound. He's been absolutely horrible, given up plenty of runs. And a Tampa team that is starting to play better offensively, swinging the bats a little bit better. But also, Jeremy Hellickson has not been pitching very well. So I got a couple of pitchers in bad form today, a couple of offenses starting to play a little bit better. A total sitting at 7.5. I like this game to go over that total of 7.5.
Interesting. Well, we're talking the right side. Brett likes the Red Rover. Red Rover. He loves the over. It's rare that we actually pinpoint the same game. I actually have an opinion on this game and on this total. I'm going to get to that in a second. But first, I want to recap what took place last week with Brett. He gave out four plays Monday through Thursday. Three of the four were winner, winner, chicken dinners. And I'm riding a three-game winning streak. So hopefully, you never bet on a streak to end. And hopefully after today, it will be four consecutive winners. Anthony Padilla on Friday gave out his play. He's been on a massive winning streak. Believe it or not, he joins us every Friday. It's been January since he actually lost a game ATS. He had the Grizzlies minus the 6.5 against the LA Clippers. Another winner. I'm looking at a baseball game today from my right side. It's the Blue Jays against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Uh-oh. Are we against each other?
Well, we are looking at the same game. The total is 7.5. I know you like the over, and I have so much respect for you. But I submitted my play last night to Jacob Cannon here, my good buddy. You have Burley against Hellickson. And for some of the reasons, I mean, I was listening to you. I'm thinking, wow, you make a pretty good argument. Maybe I should change my play.
I didn't realize. I apologize.
But the fact is, no, we don't apologize for anything because one of us is guaranteed to be a winner.
Exactly. We're going to be 1-1 tomorrow.
Exactly.
Mark it down.
But I look at Burley, and yeah, I mean, forget the ERAs, because when comparing pitchers, and it's kind of an old-school way of handicapping, the better indicator is WHIP, walks, hits, per innings pitch. And in an American League game, I get it. I mean, 7.5 is a low number for an American League contest with the DH, but there's a reason why it's 7.5. I see value in the under. The WHIP, walks, hits, per innings pitch for Burley, 1.51, for Hellickson, 1.21. It's competitive. It's comparable. I'm not sold on the Rays with their bats. Toronto, they're a home run hitting team, so it's basically feast or famine with this team. But they are on the road, so I don't think there'll be as many home runs in this contest. So I like the under 7.5 in the Toronto-Tampa Bay game. Ring up the ringer. See the cashier.
One of us will.
One of us will, and you won't. No.
Well, one of us is right.
This is
our bragging rights opportunity, right? It could be the pro versus the amateur.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, again,
I like my chances because you have no hair. So we know how you've done in these bets.
Well,
before.
You can imagine my frustration. I love Anthony Padilla, good buddy of mine. He's a sports fan, has a lot of opinions on a lot of things. But as a professional sports bettor, Anthony and I share our opinions every day, every week on this show, The Odds Couple. And it's no secret I've had a very good year, once again, documented. But Anthony Padilla has outpicked me, a sports fan. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. He hasn't lost, I think, since the millennium. I don't
well,
think it, yeah,
again, we only know
time.
This because he calls and reminds me every day.
Every day.
But it's okay. You can't argue with success.
Well, if he doesn't make it as a comic, by the way, he does have a future in buzz cuts.
He had a
very,
little,
very
he
good.
Had a little too much fun. I've never seen Anthony did a great job with the buzz cut, but Scott Whitney, the executive producer, he was like a schoolgirl, downright giddy. Seeing him just having so much fun. Jacob Cannon. See, Jacob Cannon is a cool cat. He can have a shaved head and be cool. Me?
Right.
Not so much. Like I say, I'm kind of a poor man version of a Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah. No, I'm not allowing you to bring any. We have a new pope, by the way. You can't be mad at the new pope yet.
No, I won't. I won't be turning up any picture. I have way too much respect for that. I do want to talk about streaks, winning and losing streaks in baseball. We know it's a very streaky sport. St. Louis Cardinals, your Cardinals, again, what a great organization. Six consecutive wins. The Giants do what the Giants do. They've won six consecutive games. Detroit Tigers, of course, that happens when you play the Houston Astros. You win four straight. Kansas City Royals on a four-game winning streak. On the other side of the coin, the Dodgers, four consecutive losses. The Milwaukee Brewers, five straight losses. The Cubs, wow, imagine that. The Cubs on a mini losing streak. They've lost four. Houston Astros, six consecutive losers.
Well, in baseball, we talked about this as well. Play the streaks, and you're only going to be wrong once when the streak ends. Don't try and play against the streaks because of the fact that you could be wrong multiple times. if you do that.
Real quick, and wrapping it up, your thoughts on the Kentucky Derby?
Well, Orb got the win in the Derby, and he played obviously a muddy track. In that situation, he was absolutely fantastic. It was Orb.
Check us out, Odds Couple, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. For Brett Grant, I'm Scott Pritchard. We'll see you tomorrow.